I felt that what I had to say this morning would be very appropriate to tie in with what I said last Sunday morning. You'll remember last Sabbath we looked at Psalm 42 and focused upon the words, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And we acknowledged that many times we do feel cast down, and that was certainly the experience of the psalmist. But he was like the hart, the deer that was panting after the water, and he, more than anything, he wanted to know freshness in his heart and life, and he wanted to know enthusiasm, and he wanted to know the Lord's blessing and the Lord's presence, and he wanted the joy of the Lord in his heart again. And you and I can understand that, because sometimes we be cast down. And now, sometimes, and I'm not being overly cruel to myself, but sometimes it's our own fault. But the means of grace is there for us, and even in attending the means of grace, the very best meaning and the most diligent and the most faithful Christian can still be cast down, still be very cast down. We looked at that and we said that coming to the beginning of the autumn's work again, how good it would be to be going into the work and really enthusiastic about it. We've had a long break. It's been 3 months from Sunday school and ended, and a good bit longer for the children's meeting. And we would want to be coming back to the work with zeal and a great desire to get back into it and to do whatever we can for the Lord and for the people around us. And we said that it is possible that any person could be coming back downcast, and so it is. But we don't want that to be the case, because it is a work that we want to do, and we want to do it with joyful hearts, from full hearts for the Lord. We looked at that psalm and how he acknowledged that he would yet praise the Lord for his goodness to him, and we sought to show and remind ourselves of how the Lord was able to meet his need and to lift him up. And do remember, please, that the Lord is able to do that today. He's able to come along to you right now and to lift you up and to raise your spirits and to encourage you much in himself. Well, I said that it would tie in very much with this chapter, and we look here at Joshua. There's one thing that stands out about Joshua, and it is this. He was a man, when we find him here in chapter 1, he was a man of great humility. He did not seek limelight. He was honorable in his living. He was holy in his living. He was, I suppose you could say that of all men, Joshua was someone who was qualified to step into the shoes of Moses. Now, he didn't think so. He didn't think so. And the Lord said to him, and he needed to hear it, and so do you and so do I, when the Lord said to him there in verse 6 and again in verse 9 of this chapter, to be strong and to be of a good courage. Of course, the verses here are showing us that Joshua himself was, while he was no coward, and he was a military leader, a brilliant one, and he was a man who was had experienced great valor in his life. Whenever it had come to him becoming the leader, he felt afraid and he felt weak. And therefore the Lord comes to him and says, "Joshua, you're the channel. You're the man that's going to lead the people." In Deuteronomy chapter 34, it shows us concerning him in verse 9 that he was a man full of the spirit of wisdom. Every Christian man and woman would want to pray for wisdom, for discernment, especially concerning spiritual matters and those things that matter the most, that we would want to be those who know wisdom that comes from the Lord alone. The task that he had to do, well, it was immense. He had a huge task to complete for the Lord. And if you look over there, just back a few pages actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says there in verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And maybe Moses or Joshua at that point thought, well, what do you mean? I know I'm to go with them, but what do you mean? I shall cause them to inherit it. And it says there again, if you look in the same chapter, next verse, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Is there not five or six times in that one verse that even Moses, before he died, is coming to Joshua? He must in some way have displayed a degree of timidity when it come to being involved in going on without Moses. I have no doubt that he had a great love for Moses in his heart, and when Moses wasn't going to be there, he dreaded the thought of the whole thing. And he had an extremely difficult task to do. If you look over there, in again back where we are in chapter 1, it shows us there in verse 7 that he is to follow to the letter those things which Moses had told him about. He's not to turn from the left nor to the right if he wants to prosper. And brethren and sisters, so often it's easy to turn to the left or to the right to apparently prosper. But remember what you're asked to do. You're asked to be faithful, and as far as we go here in the church, to be faithful to God's word and to the men and women and boys and girls around us. And that does not mean moving to the right or to the left. It means plowing a straight furrow, sometimes a lonely one. And that is what God would expect his people to do. Things now have, in God's providence, been organized in such a way that they are ready. You will see that the Lord says to him there that they're going to go over the Jordan. In verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, arise and go over this Jordan. And one Bible commentator, they said that the Jordan was now ready. The banks were overflowing. It was full. And they went on to say that a Jordan that was shallow with many little fords, that is, little places to pass over, would appeal to the flesh. But a flooded Jordan will bring glory to God. A flooded Jordan will bring glory to God. And here we have Joshua stepping into the shoes that I'm sure, you know, that he had no intention of stepping into. There were those during Moses' experience who sought to overthrow them. They thought they knew best, and he's taking too much, and we can do it as well as him. And all of those things, the Lord dealt with that. And now Moses, a humble man who was not a self-seeker, he was standing ready to follow the Lord. And as we come to the autumn time, folks, we asked ourselves, and I do as much as anyone else, are we ready to follow on after the Lord? And what I want to look at you with you this morning is this. Accomplishing more for God than you ever thought you could. Accomplishing more for God than you ever thought you could. Remember who Joshua was. He was Moses' minister. He was his attendant. Maybe sometimes Moses asked him for advice. He was a war strategist. Of course, war is futile. Sometimes it's necessary to protect a land from terrible enemies. But it's futile, and Joshua knew about what would have to happen from time to time. He would be involved in those wars. But here he is, and now he's stepping into the shoes of Moses. He's to mobilize Israel to go into the land of promise. Not an easy task. And as you and I look out on Achillea and Lower Ballinderry and other places as well, further afield in McGabry and all around here, and all of the great need that there is, you feel, well, I can only do so much, and I'm very limited in what I'm able to achieve. Well, maybe you're able to do far more than you ever thought possible for the Lord. I trust that what I say will encourage you and will help you, and that you will seek not only to encourage yourself, but to encourage others. Be great this year if we can really encourage each other. Pray for each other, pray with each other, help each other, seek to do what we can in the work of God. Who knows what God can do, as I said to you the other week. So we have here accomplishing far more for God than you ever thought you could. I want you to notice then what I've called the first step. Let's look at verse 11 in the chapter here. We didn't actually read down that far. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. They were to get things ready. In your authorized version there you have the word victuals, and you know what victuals are. Some who are a little bit older will know what they are. You have a grocery shop now or a superstore where you used to have a victualler, and sometimes in the older towns in England and so on, you will see the sign still up. Victuals are there that you can come along and get what you need. Well, the word victuals here in verse 11, it is actually a Hebrew word that means game. Game. It refers to the animal meats which the people would have, they would have obtained in hunting, but it also refers to different kinds of foods as well. And the manna, if you look in chapter 5 and verse 12, it was going to be gone soon. And they had to make preparation. What I'm saying here is this. The supply that was there, it was going to be gone soon, and they would need something else to strengthen them. They would need continual strengthening. And in the work of God, the Lord gives us grace, as he did last year, to do what we could. Some people did a whole lot, as far as boys and girls are concerned here in the church in Agalee. And in fact, there's many did a lot from driving buses and making, sorting out the stories and organizing everything and setting them up. It was all good. And there was plenty that had to be done, and we all got the grace to do it and the strength to do it. And maybe last year you even encouraged what you were able to do. But that was last season. That was last season. And now as we look into the autumn of 2018, you and I need more strength. We need the Lord to come alongside and to give us that which we require in order to be able to do the work. And just as they were feeding on the manna, and you and I fed on God's word last year, we need to feed on it this year. And, you know, last year, even though our children's meeting on a Tuesday night was full most nights. Now, that can fluctuate. It might not be full this year. We might have to move in here this year. We don't know that. We'll just have to wait and see what happens as far as that is concerned. But you and I need to constantly not only feed on the word, but strengthen each other through fellowship. Strengthen each other through fellowship so that that enthusiasm is found amongst us all in seeking to do what we can. And that, what I'm talking about, only comes from the Lord. Do you think of how many men there were? Like Gideon was one of them. Joshua was another one. Church commentators tell us that when Joshua heard these words in verse 2 to arise, that he actually fell down prostrate in the dust. He didn't want to do it. He would have maybe very happy for some of those men who had shown, again, shown great talent and great willingness to follow the Lord. What about Caleb? There's not many better men than Caleb. But Joshua was a man. And Joshua needed strength. And brethren and sisters, you and I need strength. And I'm sure that those of us who were involved last year in any way in God's work, and that would include a lot of people here, you knew you needed strength. You knew you needed strength. And we need strength. They would need strength not only just to go on, but in order to combat everything. All of the difficulties that they were going to face. I'm sure Joshua thought to himself, well, listen, Moses didn't bring them in. And I'm expected to do it. I maybe wonder, what if they don't listen? They murmured for years against Moses, and there was rebellions and all sorts of things, and they were always up to blame him and to say, well, it's your fault. What if they're worse? All of those thoughts must have been in Joshua's mind. So they needed strength. He would have needed spiritual strength in order to combat things, and so do you and I. Brethren, we need spiritual strength to combat the encroachments of sin. Over in First, and I'm not saying this here to make anyone feel guilty, or certainly not implying to anyone in particular, but the Apostle Paul, he said there, when he's writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." The word subjection there actually means to lead into servitude. To lead into servitude. If you had taken a horse, in order for that horse to be able to be used, to have the right calmness and yet the right desire to go forward, to be used in a battle, for instance, that horse had to be dealt with in order that it might be led into servitude. It just didn't happen overnight. And the apostle here is saying, I bring my body into subjection, or lead it into servitude, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. The word castaway is, in Greek, it's adokimas. It really refers to one who's set aside. One who's set aside. What a tragedy. The apostle Paul knew what sin could do. And he's saying here, and he said in another place as well, over in Romans 8 and the verse 13, he says here, For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In the previous chapter, he brings us into details there of a whole battle that's going on. He knows he's a new man. He's in Christ now, but he knows that this is a constant battle day after day after day. The old man is rising up and wants to follow sin. Wants to go after sin. Heard someone saying the other day regarding the alarming number, apparently in some parts of another country, that are found on the internet watching, and I'm not going to mention the word, I mentioned it the other week, mentioning that which is far from wholesome. Mentioning that, or reading that, looking at that which is completely corrupt. There's a whole host of other things available. I'm not saying that there are not good things on social media and they can't be useful and the internet can be great, but you need to watch. You need to watch. Sin is real. And when you go to serve the Lord, you will discover that sin is confronting you right in your face. Paul knew that. He was a mighty man in many ways, an example for anyone to follow. And yet here in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, and over in 1 Corinthians 9, he's saying, listen here, this is not you, just you, it's me. It's me. I need to deal with this thing called sin, and I need to watch out for it. One of the other great things that we face and we need strength to deal with is self. Remember, thinking of Joshua here. Joshua, I'm sure, had every opportunity for all sorts of sin. And yet he was a Joseph character in his life. Chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians, and it's the verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." What an awful thing just to fumble through our Christian lives and look back over the years and say, well, it just went from one failure to another and plodded through, and I just couldn't get victory. Self was always to the forefront. And that was something that Joshua had to face. Self, I'm sure he felt like running away sometimes. You have to face self. God's work requires labor. Especially it requires people to pray. And in all of our labors, I think many of you will agree with me, that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. Seeking the Lord. We'll mention that a little bit later. So they needed strength here to combat sin, to combat self, to combat the powers of darkness. When the devil comes as a roaring lion, you can usually hear him or see him. So therefore, you can be prepared to deal with that situation. But when he approaches you as an angel of light, it can be harder to discern exactly what you're dealing with. And remember this, folks, you're doing, when you're involved in work with boys and girls or in any other part of God's work, you're doing the greatest work on earth. And I don't say it to flatter anyone. But you are doing, you know that. You're doing the greatest work on earth, and you're seeking to win souls to Christ. You're seeking to accomplish something for the Lord. Yes, you're like Joshua, you feel the weakness. Just like me, you don't need to be told about it. You feel it all the time, but you're not happy to be in that position of weakness. You want to be in victory. You want to be accomplishing for the Lord. Joshua, no doubt, limited himself. He shouldn't have. And you perhaps are still limiting yourself. He had to combat sin and self and the powers of darkness. But what about all around him? All of that which he would come into contact with every day. And so often it's things in everyday life that affect our whole way of thinking and therefore our whole way of acting. It says there, in when Paul was writing to the church of Philippi, Philippians 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now, let's not try to discourage ourselves too much, but the United Kingdom, the Great Britain, you're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There's turmoil at every turn, fighting at every corner, and is not almost everything acceptable now? Almost everything. Well, he says here to these people, so long ago we're living in a similar state. He says that ye may be blameless. And the word blameless, there is a word which actually means to work through. To work through. It ties in with what we read earlier when he's writing to the church here, saying to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, verse 12 of this chapter. And then he says here that you may be blameless. In other words, if you have worked out your own salvation, you're seeking to be the best you can be, then you're guarding well the inner man. That's it. Guarding well the inner man. The word harmless there in that same verse refers to unhelpful motives. Unhelpful motives. You and I don't care who sees us and who praises us. We're not bothered for those silly things. But want the Lord to see. That's all. And our motive is to serve him, to do good to men and women around us, and to bring glory to the Lord. And harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The word lights there in the original language is the word luminaries. Luminaries, just reflectors. I'm sure you're all aware that the moon is not a sun. It doesn't have any light of its own. But you see the moon because it reflects the light of the sun. And that is what you and I do. We are luminaries. We are to refract the light that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to be among those who reflected well. Who reflected well. I would like to be among those who try to help others to reflect it. Who those who have struggled perhaps are able to reflect it even in a greater measure. And everything I've said so far, and I really must move on here, is what I've called the first step. And accomplishing far more for God than you thought you could. What is it really? Well, it's really preparing. Because that's where we were. Where the Lord said to him there to prepare the victuals. Get your stuff ready. Be prepared. And folks, we've had, as I mentioned, we're 3 months off. It's quite a big break from Sabbath school and longer than that from the children's meeting. But we don't want to be coming back just hoping that the next holiday comes soon. We want to be coming back and throwing ourselves into it. And with a heart for it. And with a real enthusiasm that, well, if help others around us that can be seen. Because remember, we're luminaries. We can think all we want, but luminaries are things that are seen. And you and I are seen what we do or what we don't do. And the first step here, well, the first step was preparing. We've had all summer to pray and to get ready, to get rested, and to be ready now for the work. That is the first step. I want to mention something, and again, I will be quick here. It says, there is firm reliance. Look at verse 11 again. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. What had he to rely on? He had to rely on what God said. That's all. He just to rely on what God said, or to rest on what God had said. Over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the oppressor here is Sennacherib, and he has come and caused great havoc and heartache. But it says concerning him and the others here in verse 8 of that chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles, with him is the arm of flesh displayed in all of its pride and pomp, with Sennacherib. Then it says, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. There's your companion this year, Christian, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah, words that had come from the Lord for them. So the Lord is their companion. He is their confidence. He is their contentment. Do you remember Asa just a few chapters ago in 2 Chronicles 14, where he was able to say, when he went out to face a huge crowd, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. You see, really all we have, Christian, to rest upon is what God says. He's promised to bless his word. He's told you and I that if we will pray and we will work, then it is up to him to give the increase. And as we go out this year, that's our firm reliance upon what God has said. He's told here that they shall pass over. They shall pass over the Jordan. That is the firm reliance. The third thought is this, and it is fighting. Fighting's not a nice word. We don't like to be involved in fights. But it says there in verse 12 of that chapter 1 in Joshua, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, and he goes on there to tell him exactly what he is going to do, what he's going to supply for him, and how he's going to meet their every need. Now, if you look here in this chapter, you will see that some of those that we're talking about had received. There were those later on who had received inheritance. And if I can condense what I'm going to say into just a few words, if you look at Numbers chapter 21, you will see that Gilead was defeated there, and there were those who needed help. They needed help. And there are always Christians who need a bit of help. You know, we don't want to just leave everything to somebody else. I don't, anyway. And that involves for us, well, what does it involve? It involves fighting, because you're involved in a spiritual battle. Drawing alongside. Do you remember Barnabas that we mentioned to you on different occasions? And words that are associated there with son of consolation, referring to a word that equally describes the work of the Holy Spirit as it comes alongside to comfort. Good to be able to comfort other Christians, and in that way, to strengthen them. Good to be able to instill confidence in God's word in other Christians, and in that way being able to encourage them to get involved and do something maybe for the Lord. There is that continual fighting, and it is an ongoing battle. We've read Ephesians 6 on numerous occasions, all of us, and we know about the Christian armor and how we need it on and what we need to do and how we need to be those who are willing to fight the Lord's battles. Discouragement comes sometimes, mostly in our own hearts. Maybe not so much in circumstances, but in our own heart. We just feel discouraged and maybe can't really put our finger upon the reason why. I wonder, are we praying? Because that's another vital thought here, and is that they had to pray. They had to pray. You'll see here that it says, in verse 7, he's to do according to all the law, that's the word that they had, which Moses, my servant, commanded me, turn not from it from the right hand nor to the left. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You can't say you meditate in God's word if you're not a praying man or woman. And Joshua was a praying man. And one thing that is vital for this year, and we've all a part to play if you're a Christian, is praying. Praying. We asked you to come along this past couple of Tuesday nights, if you could, and pray for the boys and girls of Sabbath school. And we had really good prayer meetings. But there's plenty more coming up. And we encourage you to come along as well and to seek the Lord that he might do great things this year. And again, I say that encouragement one of another is vitally important. Encouragement, someone said, is the oxygen for a Christian soul. Encouraging one another. So now you have Joshua, and they're ready to move out. God has come along to this man who is quite unsure of himself, and he speaks to him and deals with him in such a way that now they're preparing the stuff and they're ready to move out. And that's what we are doing this year, now in the autumn time. We're ready to get into the work and to do what we can for the Lord. I trust that these thoughts will encourage you. And again, I realize that there are some unique circumstances. And if you can't be at these meetings or even at some of the prayer meetings, please do pray for us at home that the Lord would use his word. But together, we want to see the Lord accomplishing this year. Remember, he always uses ordinary men and women as channels for himself.